Suzanne Hill.
Hello, welcome back to Nightlife. And if you are joining us from Saturday Night Country through the ABC's regional radio network, then a very big welcome to the 1 hour of Nightlife that you get tonight. We are going to pack it absolutely full of interesting stuff. Firstly, I'll play you this now. I'll give you a couple of minutes to see if you can figure this out. I want you to have a listen. Tell me if you know what language this is.
But my father sought after the yard and scape it among bees and keep it fancy jukes and doos at Warner Muckleys. He balked all wizened horse and kye and scrimped muck and seed, saying, crachin' wi' a crackly host. He dwined awa', indeed.
Don't you love it? But what language is it? It is Doric. It's known as Scotland's fourth language alongside Gaelic and Scots. To explain what's going on with Doric, I'm joined by Jill McWilliam. She's a videographer who set up a platform called Doric TV to promote the Doric language and culture. She's from Aberdeenshire in Scotland and she joins us tonight. Hello, Jill. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hello, Suzanne. Well, I'm quite very excited. I'm very excited, Suzanne. Never done this kind of thing before. A bit nervous, I may say, so I would just say to stick to the questions.
you'll be right. You Scots have a gift of the gab, don't you?
Well, I don't know. We're quite shy, actually. We're quite shy, Suzanne. So, and if you haven't done something before, it can be quite nerve-wracking. But no, I'll give it a bash. I'll give it a bash, Suzanne.
All right. So, Jill, I'm going to just play that little snippet of Doric again.
But my father sought out of the yard and scape it among bees and keep it fancy jukes and doos at Warner Muckleys. He balked all wizened horse and kye and scrimped muck and seed, saying, crachin' wi' a crackly host. He dwined awa', indeed.
Right, Jill, are you going to... I don't know, it sounded to me like his dad came to the yard and something about the bees and some animals and he got the horse and cart and he did something, but I might have been trying to interpret that all too literally. What's he actually saying?
Well, what I'll do, Suzanne, is actually, I'll tell you a wee bit about the man who was reciting that poem. He's a friend of mine. He's called Peter Chapman, and he's a long-standing and renowned farmer in the northeast of Scotland. Now, to give you a wee bit of background on that poem, it's about the Hill of Bina Goch, right? And it's a Doric poem written by Flora Gary. She's born in the 1900, and she died in the year 2000. She was a fair all age, but she was a game wifey and she fairly could write Doric poetry. Well, the poem is about in days gone by when a lot of the ground in the northeast, it wasn't broken in, Susanna. It wasn't ploughed or it wasn't cultivated. Now, it was a bleak country. It was hard, stiff ground. Now, Bina Goch was a bare hill. And it speaks of generations gone by and the back-breaking work they had to do to develop the crafts, which are the crofts and ferrums and the farms of the northeast. Now, the woman who's speaking in the poem, the woman, she gets a bit skunnert. She gets a bit skunnert with the place. She gets really tired of the endless hard work and isolation. But her mother doesn't want to leave. She doesn't want to leave that area. She wants to sit by her own fireside because that's where her culture is and that's where her heart lies. You can imagine, Susanna. It's quite a heart-wrenching poem. It's one which, if you want, Susanna, I'll read just a few words of it and then you'll maybe get to grasp a bit with my Doric, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So here's the first verse of that poem. Hill of Bina Goch. It was just a skilp o' muckle firth, a skliper o' rough grun, then grandfather's fodder broke it in, fae the hider and the fun. Grandfather's sclackered barn and byre brought water to the close, but failed dykes ben the bare brae face, and a kert horse tull the moss. Now, Susanna, the end of the poem, the woman, expresses her deep anguish as she realizes it would break her mother's heart to leave her homeland, the Hill of Benacook. Yet it was breaking the woman's own heart, knowing that she wanted to move on to pastures new. Now, Suzanne, if you really want to get into the Doric language, I will just go through some of the words with you.
Okay.
How's that?
All right. Give me, let's have a lesson with five words. Is that okay, maybe?
Okay. Oh. Okay. The words would be, right, they are Ophirman. Well, the words are obviously Ophirman language, right? It was just a scalp. It's a sizable area. The Muckle Firth is a large open air.
Okay, so let's do one at a time. So the first one was the scalp.
A scalp. That's a sizable area of ground, Susanna.
A scalp. Okay. So a football pitch, for example, is that a scalp or is that too small?
Oh no, that would be a fair scalp, a grand.
Oh, a fair scalp. A fair scalp. Okay.
Okay. Right. Oh, the Muckle Firth. That's muckle means large and firth means open air. Okay.
Okay. Muckle Firth.
Okay.
All right.
So, and then we've got a Sclyper or Roch Grun. Now, a Sclyper is an expanse. Roch means rough and Grun means ground.
Grun.
Okay. You okay. Catch it? Are you catching on, Susanna?
You're going a bit too fast for me, but this. I think you should be. Can we backtrack and actually have a bit of a. Can you tell us a bit about the history of Doric?
Okay, well, the history of Doric, well, it's a Germanic language. It's also, it derives itself from Greece, actually, the Duranians. But it's a language which was spoken in primarily in the northeast of Scotland, fishing and farming. It speaks of our culture, our background and our history, Susanna. Really, that's about it in a nutshell.
Yep. Okay, so what's its status, though? Because Scots speak English, there's Gaelic. Where does Doric sit in the picture of the languages that are spoken in Scotland?
Well, Gaelic is spoken over in the west coast of Scotland, as you know. It's primarily is a language, where Doric, I would say, is kind of a language between English, Scottish, and everything else put in the middle, I would say, Susanna. It is primarily words that we use of the land and of fishing. It's words that we use to describe how fishing, how they fished, but it's also words to describe how they worked on the land. And it's really ancient words, Susanna. They're ancient words.
Yeah. So, Jill, do many people grow up speaking Doric as their native language, as their first language?
Not so much now, Susanna. In my forefather's time, my father and mother would have spoke Doric. They would have spoke Doric to us as kids, as youngsters. We were a farming background. We were in an isolated area where everybody in that area spoke the Doric. Now, that generations are going past quickly, Susanna. I can imagine, we now live in an era where fishing and farming is on the demise, and that we've had, an influx of people from all over the world due to the oil industry coming to the Northeast. So there isn't so many Doric speakers left, unfortunately, Susanna. We're in a small minority now, but we are keen to keep the language and the culture going in the Northeast here.
So Jill, you didn't grow up speaking it as your first tongue, is that right?
Well, the thing is, Susanna, that when you were working on the farm, you worked on the farm, but when you went to school, right, you had to speak properly. You had to speak English, I suppose, because it was kind of frowned upon in a way in that days, because, we were kind of what would be chuchters, people from the country. We were seen as to be, believe it or not, not so well educated. So what would you do? You play your language down. Mm. You play it down. Does that make sense, Susanna?
Yeah, it does. And then you moved from the farm to Inverness, didn't you? Did you have to stop speaking it entirely when you moved there?
Well, unfortunately, I did, Susanna, because, we went from Aberdeenshire up to the Highlands of Scotland, where at that time Inverness was becoming one of the fastest growing places in Scotland. It was becoming a multicultural city, Inverness. So there was people coming from all over the world descending upon Inverness. And, you know, you had to speak properly. You had to speak properly. But as well, the Invernessians, they spoke the king's own English. In Inverness, they spoke pure English. You know, they spoke with an Inverness twang, if you know what I mean. They had this lovely lilt. And, you know, you just had to go with their flow. And as much as I'd have loved to hang on to my mother tongue, I kind of had to adapt so that people could speak, so that I could communicate with people. And I think you'll notice as well there, Susanna, that Northeast folk, we can speak quite quickly. We get excited very easily.
Yes, I've noticed that.
So that's why I had to change the way that I spoke altogether. And in that way, I probably forgot about my culture as well, I would think, Susanna. Yeah.
So Jill, tell us about your role in actually trying to promote Doric language. Why do you see that it's important to be doing that at the moment?
Well, I think it's primarily for our youngsters, Susanna. You know, we live in an age where it's very much, you know, mobile phones and electronic gadgets, you know, and people, youngsters are homed into this. And I do worry about who they see themselves as, what their identity is. You know, through this process of looking at my own culture, I've had to go back to my childhood and see and think about how I was brought up, the way that I was brought up, our values, you know, and all these sort of things are all tied up with language and culture. And I just see we're living a fast-moving society, Susanna, that I just think we need to bring back something of the old ways and old times. Not to dismiss the young scene at all, because it's vibrant, it's exciting, but somehow we need our youngsters to, you know, to think about their past, where they've come from, how we spoke in the past, and how what it means to us and what it can mean to them now, Susanna.
Jill McWilliam is with us. She's a videographer who has set up a platform called Doric TV, which is to promote the Doric language and culture. So what happens on Doric TV, Jill?
Everything happens on Doric TV. Everything and anything happens on Doric TV. Susanna, you can imagine that if you have never done this kind of thing before, right? It means we are looking at, you know, Gaelic TV, which is a huge platform for Gaelic-speaking people. And it's up there in the rankings of, television. But we've got nothing really here for the northeast of Scotland and nothing really representing the Doric language on a sort of social media TV platform. So that's when myself and Gordon Mackay of the village of Cruden Bay decided that we could endeavour to bring something forth so that we could engage with some local Doric speaking folk. We could find out about their thoughts, their views. And we've actually, you know, videoed people from the academia, from, from universities down to the ordinary person on the street. We've tried to encompass everybody. We've tried to encompass what we look like here, the landscape, the seascape, the walks that I do generally around this area. I'm in Shielding, Suzanne, have been for a year. My partner has a myeloma cancer, so we have to keep to the spots where nobody else will be walking. So I've put that into Doric TV, local walks for people who are Shielding. Songs, you know, culture. We've just tried to get a bit of everything into Doric TV.
Are there any official programs to try to keep it alive? Are universities that are teaching it or schools that are teaching it? Or is it coming down to individuals like you?
No, Elphiston Institute of Aberdeen University have been on the go for a couple of decades now, and they actually promote the culture of the northeast of Scotland. So we have the Elphiston Institute. We've also got like the Doric Board, who are a board of people who promote Doric in song, in writing, poetry. They have the Doric Film Festival. So there are institutes and you know people who are actively in a bigger scale trying to promote the Doric and culture of the Northeast Scotland here.
Would there be any schools at which, you know, in very Doric speaking areas where kids are able to speak it in the classroom, or is that not happening?
Well, it's not happening just now. Well, it is in a small scale because, like, you'll get maybe Burns Night, there'll be Burns Night. You know, the kids will all get psyched up to do their Burns poetry on a Burns Night. But, you know, I think there is a revival going on in schools where, you know, teachers are keen for the youngsters to learn the native dialect, to know a bit more about their culture. So there is definitely things going on, which we're quite excited about for youngsters.
Jill, how do you see the culture and the identity of the northeast of Scotland as being different from the rest of Scotland?
Well, I see it as fast moving and fast changing, Susanna. Primarily, we are fishing and farming folk. We are land people. We are people of the sea. We have been that for centuries. Nothing had to move or change until oil was discovered in the North Sea in the 70s and 80s, and that changed a lot for Aberdeenshire. We suddenly found this black gold in the North Sea, and Aberdeen became the oil capital of Europe, and we had a great influx of people from all over the world, from all different cultures and backgrounds, coming to work in Aberdeen. We also found that a lot of the youngsters who worked in farmly fishing and farming, that they went off to the North Sea for the big wages. So it's left us changing rapidly. As regards to the whole of Scotland, I think we're a bit of both. We're still chuchters, like myself.
Sorry, you what? You're chucked out? What's that?
No, we're not chucked out yet. We're chuchters. It means we are native people.
Chuchters. Chuchters. Chuchters.
Yeah. Chuchters, you're getting it there, Suzanne. It means we live the land, we live and breathe the land and the sea. We're natives. We work the land. We brought the lands of Aberdeenshire up to scratch, fertile places where, you know, the best beef in the world come from this area. And fish, the salmon and, you know, the whitefish, Peterhead here near me is the biggest whitefish port in Europe. So we're a bit of everything here. We bring a huge amount of money into the economy of Scotland, obviously with fishing, farming and oil-related businesses and also renewable energy. So, yeah, we're a bit of our thing here.
A bit of what?
A bit of everything,
Suzanne.
Oh,
a bit of everything. Sorry, I thought you were using a Doric word, but it was just your accent. You Scots can be a little bit tricky to understand. So, Jill, to take us out, maybe you can give us a little more Doric poetry. Would that be possible?
Well, I'm not sure about the poetry side of things, Susanna, because I'm not a poet. But what I'm going to do is going to get you to engage with me in some Doric words, okay?
Okay.
So this is to educate you. We'll see. It is a different language. I will say it's a different language. Right. So I'm going to throw you some Doric words and I would just want you to repeat them back to me.
Okay.
Okay.
Everyone at home,
so,
do this word, too.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So words like lousin time. Lousin.
Lousin time.
Right. That is the end of the day's work. Lousing. That's when you stop your work.
Lousin time.
Okay. That's it. But you've also got the time of day when you start your work, and that's the time, the yokin time.
You say it again?
Yokin time.
Yokin time.
That's it. That is the time that the work begins for the day. That's when you yoke.
You're yoking?
The horse is yoke.
Oh, yoke, the right. Okay. It's making sense now. Oh, yoking time. Yep. Okay.
Okay. Now I would class myself very much as Holly Rocket.
Holly Rocket.
Now that's a lovely word. Holly Rocket. I'm boisterous. I'm, you know, I'm out of the place. I never brush my hair from morning till night. I'm Holly Rocket.
Holly Rocket.
That's you can come to Scotland anytime, Suzanne.
Oh, I am dying to, believe me. It's number one on my list at the moment. Okay. Holly Racket.
Have you ever had a drappy of whiskey?
Say that again. It was something about whiskey.
Have you ever had a drappy of whiskey?
A drappy of whiskey? Yes. Well, I don't know if a drappy just means some or it's a specific delivery of whiskey.
A drappy means a small amount.
Oh, yes, I've had a drappy of a whiskey.
Okay. Now, we wouldn't say whiskey here. We would say fusky.
Fisky.
Fusky.
Fusky.
Right. So the word for whiskey is fusky.
Fusky.
There you go. There you go, Suzanne. Now, I didn't want you to fash yourself, Suzanne.
I will not fash. That's worry, isn't it? That's worry, right?
That's it. You got it. I don't want you to get troubled, Suzanne, especially if you get too much Doric words out of you there. Because we're hearing a good old blare there.
We are. Do you know, these books I love, the Outlander series, are you familiar with them?
Yeah.
Set in Scotland, and there's lots of these words in there. So I've heard a few of them. The dinner fash I've read many, many times in those books, but I've never had losing time or yokin time. I've never seen anyone described as a halley racket.
All right, we're having a good blather.
We're having a good blather.
We're speaking together.
Yeah. Now, Jill, I'm afraid we are on somewhat of a short time constraint because I actually need to cross to someone in the Netherlands. And much as I would like to settle down for the rest of the hour to learn Doric, I think we might have to cut it short. Can you give me a farewell? Is there a word or a phrase to that I would send you off with?
Oh, well, haste you back.
Haste you back.
It means you need to, if you've ever been in Scotland, come back soon. Because, you know, Scotland, as you know, is the most welcoming little country in the world. And that is my closing word. It's haste you back. If you've been to Scotland before or if you've emigrated to Australia and you want to come back soon. Haste you back.
Haste you back. How haste you back? When... Get ya. Hey, it's been lovely to speak to you, Jill, but I can't say haste you back to you because you're already there. Can I say have some good lousing time? And it was lovely to talk to such a howdy racket. All right.
Suzanne, you've done well. You're up there in the top of Doric speaking folk.
Oh, okay. All right. I will have to go, Jill, but thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
That is Jill McWilliam, who has set up a platform called Doric TV or Doric TV to promote the Doric language and culture. I hope you took note of some of those words because they were singularly spectacular, some of them, weren't they? And I challenge any of you to use them in your daily life tomorrow and thus spread the story of Doric.